It was quite a scene, and Harry was there. Not only was he there, he was helping to shape that scene. He was a founder of WPA, Workshop of the Players Art Foundation Theater. WPA was, we're told, a mainstay of New York's off-Broadway scene from 1971 to 1976, under the direction of Virginia Aquino, Dan Dietrich, and Harry Orzelow. The opening production was the very first New York revival of Carson McCullough's novella, The Ballad of the Sad Café, adapted to the stage by Edward Albee and directed by R. Stuart White. This production was immensely successful, created WPA as a not-for-profit production company with significant artistic credibility, and contributed strongly to the late 1970s revival of Lower Fifth Avenue businesses and nightlife. WPA's mission was dedication to neglected American classics of the past and the creation of new American plays and musicals. In acting, writing, and design, the focus of WPA's work was on the detailed examination of men and women in their everyday environment, with attention to the specifics of their moral, emotional, and physical conditions. And we'll soon hear about one of those productions. WPA moved to 519 West 23rd Street in 1985, participating once again in the renewal of the neighborhood, this time west of 10th Avenue, now well known for art galleries and the High Line. During its career, WPA was honored with the publication of 50 of the 100 plays produced, 15 commercial transfers to Broadway and off-Broadway, 9 feature films, 10 productions taped by Lincoln Center Library of the Performing Arts for inclusion in its Theater on Film and Tape collection, 4 original cast albums, and dozens of awards and nominations, including the New York Drama Critics Circle Award, Drama Desk Award, and Outer Critics Circle Award for the Best Musical of 1982-83 to Little Shop of Horrors, as well as a special 1983 Drama Desk Award for Outstanding Achievement. All that we learn about WPA from Kyle Rennick in a report from January 2018. Harry Orzelow hails from northeastern Pennsylvania, and now retired from the theater, he's back home, but still making his presence felt in and around the world of the arts and classical music. He's actually here with us at WVIA working on membership matters, and one day he thought he'd like to share with us one of his fondest memories from the good old days of off-Broadway. He brought in a photo from his theater with Leonard Bernstein and the WPA cast of Bernstein's Trouble in Tahiti. The photo is featured in a study of New York theater history in the chapter on WPA. And we asked Harry to tell us the tale on this, the eve of the 100th anniversary of the birth of Leonard Bernstein.
I was part of a theater company in the Village and East Village, really, in the late 60s and early 70s, when some pretty radical theater was coming down. We were out to change Broadway. Don't Drink the Water by Woody Allen was a hit on Broadway around that time, and that was the enemy. We wanted theater that had social conscience and whatever it is we wanted. We were rebelling against everything. Jackie Curtis and Candy Darling and those Warhol people were part of the crowd. We all knew each other, although we were part of different cliques and different theaters. But it was a very exciting time now that I look back on it. And I met Leonard Bernstein in the throes of it all, without ever intending to. In the theater I worked with, we did all kinds of theater. We were open to some of the new stuff, but, you know, I'm a good Catholic boy from Pittston, and it never got too crazy. We did Shakespeare plays, and very well indeed sometimes, in our wonderful theater, which was all adjustable. Sometimes in the round, sometimes we did a thrust, sometimes we had a regular old proscenium. Anyway, we did Shakespeare, we did new plays, a lot of new plays. In fact, we did a new plays festival every June. I think it may have been maybe the first one ever done. Now everybody does them, but that's good too, good for young playwrights. Anyway, on one of the programs we planned, we did musicals sometimes. We're going to do two short operas. And it ended up that we planned and did Trial by Jury by Arthur Sullivan, a charming little one act, you know, and Trouble in Tahiti by Leonard Bernstein. So we proceeded as usual. There were always rehearsals and performances and set building and all the stuff that goes into a theater. Well, we were rehearsing Trouble in Tahiti, along with Trial by Jury, and it was coming time for the opening, and I knew some of the members of the Tahiti cast, you know, all along, but there were some new people in the company, and it turns out the director, we didn't know it until well into rehearsal, was a student of Leonard Bernstein's, and I didn't get details. I think he aspired to become a conductor himself. Anyway, he was the music director of this particular production. One day we had a call near the opening that Mr. Bernstein wanted to come down and see the performance, and that he didn't want anyone in the cast, including his student, to know that he was going to come. So we were all excited about that, of course. The Trial by Jury cast was very disappointed that he was going to come at intermission and only see the second half, which was Trouble in Tahiti. So arrangements were made, and opening night came. That was the night he came. The audience was in there for the first half, came out for intermission. Blah, blah, blah. Now, Mr. Bernstein's limo was just down the street, and he was waiting. So as soon as we got the crowd back in for the second half, and the lights went down, we led Mr. Bernstein into the lobby. We had a seat waiting for him on an aisle. And we sneaked him in when the lights went down and sat him in his seat. We had someone pre-planted next to him who wouldn't get too excited about sitting next to Leonard, but we didn't want to fuss. And he didn't want to fuss, for sure. So the performance proceeded. And it was a really good, it's a fun opera. Anyway, it's also part of a larger piece, I think he intended. There may be other parts of it he worked on later. So there was Lenny in the house, and everybody was on eggs, tiptoeing. And the performance went well, thank goodness. And, you know, we had a live little orchestra, and it was really a fun evening in a small theater, especially the really effective little operas, little operettas. So the performance ended, and then people saw him, and there was a little commotion in the aisles of everyone wanted to meet Leonard Bernstein. And eventually, you know, the audience drifts away, and it was just us folks, show folks left in the house. And he stayed. His friend, the person he was mentoring, came out. They were all very surprised. Oh, my God, how were we all that? And so they had their little exchanges, and Leonard was very animated. They were standing in the aisle, I remember. They never did sit or anything. And the young man who was the music director said, "Harry, come, I want you to meet Mr. Bernstein." Oh, my God, yes, of course. Wouldn't miss this, like meeting Mozart, you know?
The composer.
Yes, and conductor and all the other things he did. Well, so I met Leonard Bernstein very briefly, very kind and, you know, gracious. A couple of words. That was my Leonard Bernstein experience. It was very exciting.
And there was a picture taken. And
yes, there were photos taken, of course. And there's a book. There's some off-Broadway books that contain that information and maybe a picture of Lenny and the cast. And that was the meeting of Leonard Bernstein. And while we're on the subject of composers and conducting, I hope everyone realizes that the Northeastern Pennsylvania Philharmonic is coming back in October with the concert at Seminary. Beautiful new theater they have, and it's not too big. And the orchestra sounds wonderful there. So come on out and see the performances. Best way to support the orchestra is not to say, oh, we're sorry it's closing, or oh, we hope it comes back. It's to buy tickets and go to the performances. That's it.
Harry Orzello, a co-founder of WPA Theater, a theater off Broadway in New York, active in the 70s and 80s, making its mark in the New York theater world and New York theater history. Harry, now back home in Pittston and working to further the arts in our area and reminding us too about our own orchestra. Harry meeting Leonard Bernstein, we wanted him to tell that story of his fond memory from the old days on the eve of the 100th anniversary of the birth of Leonard Bernstein, which is tomorrow, the 25th of August. It's, of course, 2018, and so he would have been born August 25th, 1918, and the music world has been celebrating all year, and we're joining in with a special tomorrow afternoon at 4 from Hollywood to Broadway. In the little white house, in the little white house, in the little white house in blue.